Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon.
Welcome to another edition of News and Views. Thanks for joining us. State Senate leaders released their budget proposal this week, which makes cuts in education and human services to pay for a significant pay raise for most teachers. The budget also weakens state environmental laws and may threaten the survival of some small campuses in the UNC system. Joining us now to talk about the budget, education, and the damaging effects of HB 2 is Representative Susan Fisher from Buncombe County. Well, Representative Fisher, it's good to see you. Thanks for being with us on News and Views.
Nice to see you too, Chris.
A lot to talk about in the few minutes that we have. The budget is the big issue this session. The House passed a budget. The Senate has an even more restrictive budget in many ways. What are your thoughts about where we are in terms of our budget and funding education?
Well, in funding education, I think that I said this earlier in the debate when we had that budget in the House, that I see it as just a sort of an election year Band-Aid, if you will. It's doing some things like giving teacher raises and some state employee raises that are so long overdue, and it's almost too little too late. We're going to be playing big catch-up, I think, for the next several years to get our employees, our teachers, our state employees up to the inflationary standard. Mm-hmm. We are so behind right now.
It's interesting that despite that and the cuts in education, K-12 and higher education, there's still a momentum, it appears, to keep cutting taxes.
Yes, and therein lies the problem. As long as we continue to push the tax cuts, which cost the state money, cost us revenue, to the folks who really don't need it and pay for it on the backs of the people who can least afford it, then yes, we are going to continue to struggle. And I think it's clear that North Carolina is behind many other states in terms of recovery from the recession. I think the current leadership likes to say we've created this many jobs and that many, and we're this far along and we've, you know, done all of these things to improve our economy. But it's stagnant. It's not improving to the same degree that we're seeing in other states.
The shadow over the session is HB 2, and there's a lot of business people publicly and then even privately talking about the devastating effect it's having on our economy and creating jobs. And where do you think we are on HB 2?
Well, interestingly, we had a decision just yesterday that appears to keep the case in Virginia with the student, the transgender student who wanted to use the bathroom that corresponds with his gender. It'll deny that ability to be heard before a full panel of judges, which really opens the door for it to go straight to the Supreme Court. Then if you have only 8 judges at the Supreme Court level, we wonder if maybe that will result in the decision staying as it was in the Fourth Circuit, which actually puts HB 2 in some trouble, I would think.
What impact do you think it's having on our state, not just in terms of jobs, but in terms of what people think now of North Carolina?
We have a worldwide reputation that is just sinking. You know, I cannot believe every time I look in the news how many other states, but then again, how many other countries are talking about North Carolina's HB 2. It is just not who we are. We should not be identified at all with this. And it goes way beyond bathrooms. It's discriminatory in so many ways. And it ties the hands of local governments in so many ways. And the result, of course, is that people don't want to be here. People don't want to come to North Carolina.
One other question about HB 2. You mentioned local governments. You're from a city that has had some experience with the General Assembly bullying
Indeed.
Local government. How did we get here? It used to be, it seemed that the conservatives thought local government was the best place for decisions to be made.
Right, except when it's not. I think that we've seen a whole lot of just micromanaging, looking at what cities are doing and not leaving them to govern themselves and threatening them with things like, you know, we created you, we can put you out of business sort of thing. It is not a healthy way to conduct the business of government.
We talked about education and the budget a little bit, but it's interesting. Also, this session, there seems to be a move. The House passed an achievement school district bill. The Senate budget expands vouchers. There's legislation to ease regulation on virtual charters. What are your concerns about sort of what's happening in our public schools?
Well, you know, Chris, I have said before that this has been, over the last at least half decade, a systematic dismantling of public schools in North Carolina. We had a system. We are struggling to keep a system that we can be truly proud of. We were the leader in all kinds of innovation in North Carolina when it comes to K-12. We were the jewel in the crown of public universities. And we've just watched a systematic defunding through all of these kinds of trial and error kinds of mechanisms that take money from the budget that should be going to public education. Achievement School District is one of the latest, where we don't seem to be learning from the mistakes of other states. I mean, look at Tennessee. They went through this process. Parents are completely dissatisfied with what the Achievement School District were able to accomplish in Tennessee. But yet, we have legislators here in North Carolina who insist that we can do it a different way. Or we can try the same thing that didn't work somewhere else and make it work in North Carolina. And in the meantime, spend public education dollars to get there.
There's a lot of environmental issues that are always before the General Assembly, and it seems every year there's a regulatory bill that looses regulations. There was a big debate in the House about coal ash. How do you feel about where we're headed this year and in recent years in protecting our natural resources?
I have been very concerned about the direction that this governor has been taking us in terms of environmental control and quality control over the things that are most important to us, water, air, all of the environment. And particularly being from Asheville, where we have a coal ash pond that fortunately for us will be put to bed, decommissioned, if you will. But I see in the latest legislation that was just debated yesterday in the Senate bill that came over to the House, I think Senate Bill 71, that the governor is trying to appear to be a moderate by appealing to the environmentalists in the state, but it's sort of backfiring because if he vetoes this bill, that delays anything from happening. In effect, it does a favor for the utility by delaying. But the reason he says he will veto is because it does not go far enough to protect us from the damage of coal ash. So it's an election year, and I think that's the key thing to remember. It's an election year, and you're going to hear people talking out of both sides of their mouth.
What are your hopes for the rest of the session? I mean, are there any good news out there?
Oh, my goodness. That's a tough question, Chris. The thing that I keep hoping for is that we will get back to the business of protecting our people and get away from these divisive sort of issues that we have been encountering. My seatmate and I have a list of bills that we would love to see taken up in this session, but many of them, because it is a short session, require joint resolutions in order to get them heard. We continue to try to put things forward, to start conversations on things like expanding Medicaid eligibility and funding for D&F schools instead of coming up with a whole new idea that takes money away from public schools, for things like banning the box, for things like having a living wage. All of those things that are really good conversations to have that will actually help the everyday person in North Carolina. But those conversations are being stifled. And frankly, you know, I'm not answering your questions about good news, but I guess my answer is we will keep trying to have those conversations.
Well, maybe that's the good news. People are still fighting for those things. But before I let you go and ask you about redistricting reform, it's interesting that whole HB2 controversy in some ways has reignited, I think, a lot of people's interest because they're mad. They want to know, what can I do about it? And then they find out these districts are very difficult to change who's in Raleigh.
Right.
I mean, how important is that in terms of turning things around?
It is important, but I will say that there are a lot of people who are dissatisfied with the way things have been going. This is an opportunity in this election year to turn things. We have an opportunity to take back the governor's mansion. We may be able to become relevant again in the conversation, and so that we may be able to have some of the conversation I was talking about in the bills that we've introduced this session. That's my hope, that people are fed up with the inane conversations that we've been having so far, and they're ready to get back to the business of protecting our working families and making sure that people have enough instead of erring on the side of the top 1% having enough. We want everybody in North Carolina to do well. Hopefully voters will follow that desire up with their vote at the polls. You know, everybody thinks it's really cool to go out every 4 years and vote for president. Well, my urgent message to your listeners is that they need to vote not only for president, but they need to vote the entire ballot this year. Because as we have seen over the last 5-6 years, what happens at the state and local level has way more of an effect on us here in North Carolina than what is happening at the federal level. I would encourage all your listeners, no matter what, vote the whole ballot.
Well, good advice. Thank you very much for what you're doing in Raleigh, and thanks for being with us.
My pleasure.
Up next, the stonewalling of President Obama's Supreme Court nomination continues. Stay with us.